I've got a message to come from the Sermon on the Mount. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, I'll be reading from there. Just to give you the reason why I'm just looking at this today, my daily practice, as much as I've been able to since September, I started this in September, is I've been practicing Lectio Divina, which is the slow reading of Scripture, and I've been doing that by taking one verse a day, one single verse a day from the Sermon on the Mount, and reading it slowly, meditating on the words, praying, and just allowing God to speak to me through one verse a day. And I got to chapter 6, verse 25. So you can work out, if you're good at maths, you can work out how many days I've missed from start of September through to December, because I have missed a few days. So I just wanted to share with you today some of the thoughts I've had on this particular sort of section from Jesus' teaching as I've been meditating on it. So I'm going to read it to you. So this is Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm wondering, here's a start of a tangent. Has anyone ever been on a parachute jump? I know my wife has. Wendy, you have, yeah? Only two people in our church have been on a parachute jump. What an average kind of church we are. Deary me. I'm guessing there was a little bit of... Put it this way. Imagine yourself, you're going to... And I know a lot of you are going to love this. Imagine yourself that you're just about to go and do a parachute jump. For the first time, maybe. Okay? You're probably a bit nervous. I definitely would be a bit nervous. And you come across various different people saying to you, "Don't worry, it'll be fine. Don't worry, it'll be fine." Now imagine some of these people. One of those people is ex-military. Looks really hard. I did a gig a few weeks ago at the secret, not secret, the special boat service base down in Poole. I probably shouldn't have told you that. And on the wall there were some pictures of the people that, like the sergeant major and the person who ran the base. And then we were waiting to go into and I was with the band and we were looking at these pictures. And then one of the guys walked past and we just went, because this guy was just kind of like, he was just square. his shoulders kind of went out like this. His ears even looked like they had more muscles than my arms. It was just crazy. So imagine one of those kind of guys, super trained, super, super kind of like skillful at everything. And they say, "Don't worry, you'll be fine." How does that make you feel? I'll let you think about that. Maybe there's also somebody there as you're going to go on this parachute jump, and they're one of those kind of thrill seeker, nutty kind of types that just like everything's, "Yeah, let's do it." And they're kind of like, "Yeah, you'll be fine." And they say that to you. Maybe there's a health and safety guy with a clipboard. who's checked all the equipment and the statistics on the death rate of parachutists and whatever. And he's looking at his clipboard and he looks at you up and down and thinks, yes, you'll be fine. How do you feel about that? Maybe also you've got an instructor. Hopefully you've got an instructor if it's your first go, and they say you'll be fine. How does that make you feel? Maybe there's somebody like my wife who's been on a parachute jump and perforated her eardrum at the same time. She, yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah, no problems here. I don't know. Or maybe there's just a sign on the wall that just says, as you go, leave the aeroplane through the door, it says, you'll be fine over the top. Don't worry. You'll be fine. They're all saying that. But who do you listen to and who do you trust? And which one of those voices brings confidence? Which one of those voices maybe doesn't bring confidence? Have a think about that. So as we read this, we've just read this this teaching that Jesus gives us. He says, he starts off by saying, I say to you, don't worry about your life. Kind of like, you'll be fine, that kind of thing. And I'll just give you, I'm not going to really, I mean, there's so many sermons that could be preached on this one little passage, but, you know, there's a call really in what Jesus is saying to a non-anxious life. And to not make food and clothing our primary focus, which is easier said than done. But to understand that our Heavenly Father knows we need these things, but to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. And so there's a challenge to those of us who are maybe well-healed, well-fed, well-off, not to rely on our material comforts that we know and have really known for maybe many, many years for a lot of us, but to seek God's kingdom and to put our trust in God's kingdom and in his righteousness. There's a challenge for those of us who don't have those things, the have-nots of the world, not to put our focus on physical needs, but again, to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness and to trust him that he'll provide. And really, Jesus provides this new perspective of what it is to be a human, actually, because what it is to be a human is where we see, actually, there's this Maslow's priority of needs. Has anyone come across this? Yeah? Oh, yeah, all the clever student teachers. You can probably tell me all the different layers, but there's kind of various different layers of what a person really needs. But really, food and clothing are up there in terms of what, you know, we all need, right? But Jesus provides this perspective, like saying there's even a deeper human need, which is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. They're not unimportant, food and clothing, but there's even a deeper level to being human, that actually our connection with God, our relationship with God is primary. And so it follows a common theme in Scripture, this what Jesus is saying, which is do not fear. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. You hear that a lot. But my focus when I was meditating on these scriptures was drawn to these very first few words that we read out, which Jesus says, therefore, I tell you. And I've read this passage many, many times. Many, many times. In fact, I think, if I remember rightly, but it was a long time ago, I think this was the first passage of scripture I preached on many years ago. Not here, but in my previous church, when I was a young man and had hair. But this time as I read it, this is what stuck out to me. Therefore, I tell you. I tell you. And I was thinking, who is this voice that says, I tell you? I mean, it may be obvious as we read it, because it's Jesus saying, I tell you. But do we hear that voice sometimes? Because I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but I read the scriptures and I know that these are important words. I know that these are true words. I know that these are sacred words. But oftentimes they are words on a page, even though I know that they're important and true. But I don't know, and I don't always hear the voice of them, if that makes sense. They are words on a page, but I don't necessarily hear the voice that's speaking them. Does that make sense? You know, you can just you read them, and particularly if they're very familiar to you, which some of this stuff has is very familiar to some of us, not all of us, but it just is like, yeah, I've heard that before. A bit like when Mum says, can you pick up your clothes off the floor or whatever? And we've heard that a few times before, and we tend to, it just kind of washes over us. And so sometimes we read scripture, and also we kind of think, okay, well, I read this, and is this just like a, is it like a bit of like a self-help book? You know, that a bit of useful wisdom that's good for life. And so if I repeat this truism enough, then it will be good for me. So I will repeat to myself, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. And I can try and convince myself not to worry. Just a case of mind over matter. If I've got worries, I need to tell myself not to worry. I need to look in the mirror each morning. Richard, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry. Follow that simple guidance and life will be easy. Yeah? Well, I think that's easier said than done, don't you? I don't know about that. I mean, telling yourself not to worry is, I don't know, does that work? Don't know. I don't think it's as simple as that. Or maybe, rather than repeating these words to ourselves, we sometimes hear these words spoken to us by people who actually have no idea who we are, have no idea what we're going through, have no experience like ours, or no frame of reference for understanding what we're going through and the circumstances and the situations of our lives. And actually, when they say, don't worry about your life, it becomes a bit patronizing and it seems a bit insensitive. Don't worry, you'll be okay. But actually, you have no real idea. You don't know what you're saying. And I realize, as a middle class, educated, very comfortably off, really, in the big scheme of things, person who's never really had faced, for instance, any financial troubles. I mean, Daniel and I go off on cat visits from time to time and visit people. And I've never really had any financial troubles or worries. And so I sit with these people and I realise if I was just to say to them, don't worry about your life, you know, to take this teaching of don't worry about your life. That's, I mean, really, how can I, from my perspective, say that to someone? Right? It's not really that. It's not that I don't have faith for their life. But I don't have any frame of reference for their life, really, in my own life, in my blessed experience. So I don't know whether it's my place to say to them, don't worry about your life, because I can't guarantee their life. I can't do it. And sometimes we hear these words spoken by people in authority, you know, people who we see as greater than ourselves, who have maybe climb some spiritual mountain somewhere, and they've these great spiritual people. And it, sometimes it comes across these people from high up there, and it's almost like a telling off. Like, don't worry about your life, you silly, silly thing. As if it's an unnatural condition. If you're spiritual, it's an unnatural condition to be worrying. Huh, you fool. As if that's the only thing that weak, immature people do. They worry, but if you're properly spiritual, you won't worry. And it's almost like they kind of... Well, here's the thing. What's the worst thing you can say to somebody who's worrying? It's probably to bark at them, don't worry! I don't know, does that work? Somebody who's fearful, shouting at them, don't worry! Slightly annoyed because they are worried, slightly irritated that they're worried about stuff. I don't know whether that's helpful. So what I'm saying really is, how do we hear these words that we read off the page? Or maybe you might hear somebody preach, or you might meditate on when Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Because when we read these words, we need to remember that these words aren't spoken by me, or yourself. You're not reading this to yourself. It's not being spoken to you by anyone else other than Jesus himself is saying, therefore, I say to you, says Jesus. And as we understand it to be Jesus who's saying these things, it puts these words in a completely different category, a category we haven't actually touched on at all today. Because these are words spoken directly from Christ himself. And he's speaking directly to us because he says, therefore, I say to you. Cuts out the middleman. Cuts out the middleman of your trying to repeat it to yourself, you being the middleman. Cuts out the middleman of some patronizing, you have no idea about my life kind of person. Cuts out the middleman of somebody who seems to be just barking instructions at you. And it's Jesus himself directly saying, I say to you. And so as we hear these words from Jesus, we know that they are spoken by somebody who fully knows our situation. He knows our situation better than we know our situation. He knows our internal wrestling better than we know our internal wrestling. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows. He's the one who says to us, therefore I tell you. And so these words aren't an empty hope or wishful thinking, because we can all hope for people, and I try not to say to this to people deliberately, because I can't promise this for myself, you know, it'll be okay. But when Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry, these are the words spoken of him who speaks the words of eternal life. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows your needs. He knows your wants. He knows where you're at. So they're not empty hope or wishful thinking, but they are the words of Christ himself. And they aren't words of a challenge to us where we're destined to fail, but they're actually words to inspire us to faith. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry. To give us a new perspective on life. Don't worry. To remove us from the burden of the false ideas of the world, looking for security in the wrong places. These are the words of Christ to us. Jesus says, therefore I say to you. These are the words of Christ. I tell you. So you maybe want to insert your name. Therefore, it says at the beginning of this chapter, therefore, says Jesus, I tell you, and you can put your name in there, I tell you, Bukumni, I tell you, Reg, I tell you, Isabel, I tell you, Shari, do not worry about your life. I'm not saying that, me, Richard. Jesus is saying that. Because he goes on to say, you know, by worrying, can you add a single hour to your life? I don't know anybody who's added age to their life by worrying, do you? This is what Jesus says. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus ends up by saying, but for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So Jesus is saying to us, live now. Live now with God, here, held by him in this moment. And allow yourself to be secure in that. Seek his kingdom now. Seek his righteousness now. That's what he says to us. It's a challenge of faith. I'm not saying it's easy, by the way. Even as we hear Christ saying it to us. But I think the more we hear Jesus and the more we have confidence in him, the easier it is for us to absorb into this. So, as we come to end of 1 year, what's what we now? Betwixtmas? Is that right? Or betwixtmas? Is it betwixt and betweenness? Let's just allow Jesus to speak to us. What are his words to us? And hear his voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that these words are not just words of ink on a page, that true though they may be, are just words. but they are living words, living and active, spoken by you to us. And so I pray, let these words impact us, transform us, renew us, envisage us, give us hope in your kingdom and your righteousness. And forgive us, Lord, where we've just heard these words and let them wash over us and not actually let them absorb into us, but let us know that when you say, therefore, I tell you, therefore, I say to you, let us hear what your voice speaks to us and pay attention. For all that is ahead of us, let us not worry as we put our trust in you. For all that's gone behind us, let us know that in your great forgiveness, we do not need to worry. But as we are here today, let us be present to you. I know your Spirit ministering to us and speaking to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.